Squared Circle Ringwear presents OSWNU Partners in Freedom.
Ah, nothing beats a stroll in cattle country.
That's fine.
Alright. Hi, I'm Mr. OOC. You may remember me from such films as Sandman and Psychology, Together at Last, Garvin Doesn't Live Here Anymore, and Dial C for Cuntiness.
Mr. OOC?
Oh, hello, Bobby.
Jimmy. Jimmy, I'm curious how your teas get from Squared Circle Ranch to my door.
Whoa, 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 slow down, Jimmy. You just asked a mouthful. It all starts here, in parts unknown. And when the teas are just right, they graduate from Nugger University.
Mr. OOC, I have a crazy friend that says there are no more t-shirts. Is he crazy?
No, just ignorant. Your crazy friend never heard of the food chain. I mean new merchandise. We've a new ECW t-shirt. Two, in fact. Classic ECW barbed and ECFW.
OSFW.
And, well, it says ECW.
Oh, shit.
Classic OSW barbed and OSWFW. And OS... Classic ECW... Classic... Classic OSW barbed and OSFW.
Shouldn't I just give my money to Virgil instead?
Don't kid yourself, Jimmy. If Virgil ever got the chance, he'd take a tenner off you and everyone you care about.
Wow, Mr. OC. I was a grade A moron to never order before.
Yes, you were, Jimmy. Yes, you were.
You're hurting me.
Get our t-shirt at t-shirt.oswreview.com. That's t-s-h-i-r-t.oswreview.com.
You can't expect me to swallow this tripe.
Awesome work.
That's great.
That's
right?
Amazing.
That's great.
Nugger University.
See, I don't ask my audience what they want. I tell them what they want. I tell them what they want, and then they like it.
It's the traditional Bavarian Oktoberfest sausage stuffing contest. Presiding over this event, the master sausage stuffer himself, the genius, an honorary member of the Sausage Stuffers Hall of Fame.
Hello and welcome to OSW Review, the old school wrestling video podcast. Filmed in glorious gravel vision and encoded with glass processing, we chronologically critique wrestling storylines pay-per-view by pay-per-view. This is your host, Jay Hunter, joined as ever with Mr. OOC.
Hey, Rick.
And V1.
All right.
Tonight we close out the ECW saga with the dismally depressing, dreary disaster known as December to Dismember. In short, fuck you, ECW! Welcome, Noggers! Happy days are here again!
Hi.
How are you, Steve?
I'm amazing.
Excellent.
This is like a TNA Impact tape. I'm all right.
Excellent.
I'm the same as I was an hour ago, Jay.
Oh, I wanted to mention, since Capital Carnage, when we went out and told everyone, hey, look, one of our bros got an OSW Review tattoo. Isn't that crazy? Two more people have gotten OSW Review tattoos.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Which is so awesome.
Now, hold on. Are there tattoos of a manhole
or on a man's hole?
One is a manhole and the other one is on a manhole.
Fuck! So they actually listened.
So that's so amazing. And listen, we're gonna fall way behind if we do this tattoo for review business.
We will end up just doing single random shows, and that's not what we wanted to be in the first place, you know?
So yeah, we're cutting off. Well, thank you to everyone that got tattooed.
It's amazing. The loyalty is incredible, you know?
It's so successful that we've had to put an end to it. But yeah, no more tattoos for reviews. We will put your tattoo on the next show, and thank you muchly. But
yes,
yeah, no more reviews. We'll fall way behind schedule. Anyway, onwards and upwards, December to dismember. Last left ECW on Sci-Fi, Cool Whatever RVD was flying high, pun intended, as champion. RVD, he was never going to have a lengthy run, but whatever it was cut short 3 weeks into his run. 2nd July 2006, RVD and shirtless Sabu were pulled over for speeding.
Yeah, world champion.
What do you go by?
Rob Van Dam, RVD.
Oh, okay, I've heard of you.
Yeah.
What's your name, Ball?
Sabu.
Do you have any marijuana, guns, knives, drugs, anything like that in the vehicle?
49.
Can you explain to me why your car smells like dope?
The police found marijuana, Vicodin, drug paraphernalia, and 9 testosterone tablets, which are estrogen blockers. Oh, men would take that to counteract the breast tissue growth, which you get with steroid use. RVD took the rap for the whole affair.
Wow. That's very noble.
You're gonna owe me so much weed. Sabu was fined $1,000 and kept his job, whilst RVD dropped the WWE title on Raw the next night to Edge in a triple threat with Cena, the ECW title the following day to Big Show on ECW on Sci-Fi, and was immediately suspended for 30 days. Disaster. Heel Big Show was positioned at the top of ECW with newcomer babyface Bobo Lashow nipping at his heels, whilst RVD had to work his way back up the card.
It's depressing. It really is.
Yeah, I know.
Van Dam won a championship match, but Heel Heyman made his championship match a 6-man Extreme Elimination Chamber at December to Dismember. Would RVD, the most popular ECW star, rightfully take his place back at the top of the ECW food chain? Or would Vince tell everyone, "Fuck you"? Let's find out.
6 men will enter.
Metal chair,
crowbar,
table,
bar,
wire,
baseball bat.
They will be detained until only one man is left.
Inside the chamber,
it's total anarchy.
I might not even walk out of this match.
The risk is worth it.
One man, one mission.
Imagine what I sacrifice.
Every man for himself.
I am ECW.
You become the ECW World Champion. Inside, the time has come to seal their fate. It will be a December to Dismember.
And now, ECW's December to Dismember.
The show opens with a promo package hyping the main event, a 6-man Extreme Elimination Chamber. Oh, it's hilarious hearing Big Show say, "I am ECW." Jesus. It's ECW December to Dismember. 3rd December, to be exact, in front of 4,800 fans. Sorry, 4,800 extremists in the James...
Never get on telly. Can you imagine if you did that on live telly? He said that war and it's like on fucking letter bombs to my house.
In front of 4,800 extremists in the James Brown Arena in Augusta, Georgia. V1 is watching the DVD version whilst OC's on the WWE Network.
V1 was watching V1 on the DVD.
And I'm watching the live VHS copy, which has the free-for-all on it. I'll give you a quick rundown. Joey Styles runs down the card. Both matches! Because WWE only announced two before the pay-per-view. The opening tag and the main event. Unlike today's pre-show, they didn't show the dark match, which was Stevie Richards jobbing out Bon Vivant Rene Dupri.
Oh.
Stevie Richards beat him?
Yeah.
But he was the young upcoming star, right?
The upstart, yeah.
Good evening. I'm Rene Dupri. Bon Vivant, Bouvaldier, Racontier. And soon to be the most extreme athlete in the history of ECW.
But wasn't he in the doghouse at this point?
He was a raconteur. Yeah. Supermarché. Highlights from earlier that week on ECW. Like Punk and Test with the Duggan special. Brawl outside. Double count out.
Find the belt. And RVD is on belt. Fucking bong next to it.
And video packages on the Elimination Chamber. Of note, participants, I'll do a voiceover. You know, the old, I'm gonna win this chamber elimination today. Sabu doesn't do one, but my boy Test does. Mm. It's like, it's so weird hearing him do a voiceover video package.
I'm the next ECW champion.
Fucking stadium main event if one of my boys is in it.
Test is your big boy though.
He is. I love Test so much. Mm.
He was a big boy in his show. Like, holy shit.
This is pre the Punisher in TNA, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
2007.
Because you got fired for being too roidy. I'll show you roidy.
That's not a roid. This is a roid.
Matt and Jeff Hardy started in the new generation WWF as jobbers, notably opening and closing the gates for the 95 King of the Ring.
That's correct. Oh, yeah. Wow.
The Hardys, with a Z, started proper in late 98, garnering Michael Hayes as a manager, who wore similarly tight velour tops and a walking stick.
Despite being their grandfather.
What did they do to deserve him?
I know.
They turned heel, joining Gangrel as the New Brood, as Edge and Christian broke out onto their own, which, like the New Rockers, or the New Midnight Express, or the New Brig, did them no favours. So they turned back face with a new manager, Terry, because they won the Terry Invitational Tournament. Tit. Hilarious, Russo. It was a ladder match. Yeah. Lita initially paired with S.A. Rios. They got over quite quickly with her moonsault and ditched him for the Hardys. And the trio became known as Team Extreme. And they were really very over.
Her moonsault is shit.
Yes.
Lita's? Oh, she nearly kicked her about four times in her career.
It's just like falling backwards and throwing your legs over.
Making their careers, they feuded with Edge and Christian and the Dudleys in the iconic tables, ladders and chairs matches at SummerSlam 2000 and again at WrestleMania X7. The tag scene started to dwindle after that, Team Extreme feuding with the likes of TNT, Booker T and Test, the APA and Billy and Chuck, before being destroyed by newcomer Brock Lesnar in 2002.
That's right. Big Puddinhead. Hulk Hogan, the blood of you is on me. Fucking Shakespeare over here.
Factually correct. The Hardys sought their own singles careers after that. Jeff having the great star building feud with The Undertaker on Raw, whilst Matt became the awesome Matt Hardy version 1 on SmackDown.
Oh, so good.
Thank you.
How was that not main event?
Like, the best you got out of it was the Cruiserweight title,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
He was so good. What's it, the V1s have ended with him getting the Cruiserweight belt off Ray.
Yeah.
That was 2003, yeah.
The next year, Jeff would get shit-canned due to his drug use, refusing to go to rehab, which affected his in-ring performances. TNA would hire him despite his ongoing drug problems and left in 2006 after no-showing a few events. WWE hired him back. Matt Hardy himself, he was just back a year, having been fired a few months in 2005 for making the Edge-Lita cheating scandal go public. They reunited, as Hardys with an S, since they're older now, for their successful Survivor Series pay-per-view match tagging with DX. And now 7 days later, they do it again on December to Dismember. Eminem, Mercury, Nitro, and Melina were brought up in April 2005, a trio of kayfabe Hollywood celebrities, having a red carpet and paparazzi in their ring entrance. Their dizzying highs of being tag champions included facing Hardcore Holly and Charlie Haas, the new Legion of Doom, Animal, and Mike. And the Mexicos. They went on a losing streak gimmick, jobbing to London and Kendrick, before Mercury was sent to rehab in May and would be off TV for 6 months.
I always thought that he wasn't a fit for Eminem, because Johnny Nitro's a good-looking guy, he's got awesome hair, and Melina has the entrance and shit. I was like, oh, is Mercury not a bit cretinous to be like a Hollywood star, you know?
No movie star good looks.
In that time, Nitro feuded with Jeff over the IC belt, so when the Hardys issued an open challenge for December to Dismember, that's very cheeky, non-ECW wrestlers, Eminem surprise reformed, accepted, and gave him a beatdown, and that sets up this match. Funnily enough, they couldn't have accepted the challenge, as it was already accepted by TNA's BG James and Kip James.
We've been waiting on you at the Alamo. Remember that shit, man? Yeah. Oh, it was amazing.
The Outlaws, of course, it didn't happen, so Mr. and Mrs. James continued to shoot in TNA.
Paul Levesque, Michael Higginbottom, we've been waiting at you at the Alamo. Fuck. Although I seem to remember VKM. I seem to remember them having a really awesome song.
It was like the boom, 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 boom.
Isn't it?
Boing, yeah.
The ring, ring.
Fuck off.
Now what does VKM have in store for VKM? Because we got your attention, didn't we, Paul Levesque? Wednesday at the Alamo at high noon, Higginbottom.
911 operator, what's your emergency?
Help me, they're in my...
Our inaugural contest is the Hardys versus Eminem, Johnny Nitro, and Joey Mercury.
Johnny Nitro looking fucking ripped. Pre-signature pharmacy scandal. He's gross.
Both teams reformed recently for this matchup. Well, not for this matchup, but they're having. Never mind. To determine who is the greatest tag team of the modern era.
That's a stretch with Eminem, isn't it?
It's probably neither, considering the Hardys were one of the best of the last era and Eminem just weren't.
Yeah, they were the only tag team.
And they kept getting beat by Edge and Christian as well.
And like, at this point, Nitro couldn't work, right? And so Joey Mercury just did absolutely everything. And then Nitro would probably come in and do his like standing shooting star or his little spinneroony job like or something like that. But that's basically it.
Melina still got her short skirt on at this point. Lost a lot of luster when she put on wrestling tights.
Yeah. I was like, man, that entrance is like talent. You know?
The sexiest entrance ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, very ECW with their extremely flashy WWE entrance. Like, equally extreme is cutting away from the R shot as Melina enters.
Mm. Oh, what the fuck?
Fucking thanks. Coming out to their classic theme, it's those ECW scamps, Matt and Jeff Hardy. Obviously, this is a decent enough matchup, but a huge slap in the face having it on ECW's own single brand pay-per-view. Steve! What bar is Eminem?
Well, Jay, Eminem are wearing a white, black and gold getup. So they are Mars Delight Bar.
I love it, Steve. Yeah, it's very floaty.
That is also keeping in with, I've been using a lot of Mars products for ECW because they all wear black and red. But yeah, Mars Delight.
It's
yeah,
very nice chocolate bar as well.
Mm. It is a tasty bar.
It is a classy bar.
Yeah. Mm.
The opening minutes, nothing happens. Slowly. Taz agrees, saying the match has simmered and hopes something will happen soon. The crowd amuse themselves with "she's a crack whore" chants. Melina responds with her primal scream, a gimmick not by Mortal Kombat's Melina, but Sindel.
That's right, actually. Who is Melina's ma, though. So, not that bad.
It got good heat for the first few times she did it until the crowd got bored of it and they just sandbag it.
Matt Hardy hits a very nice razor's edge, which he turns into a powerbomb. Eminem hit double face planters and then go for a double suplex, but Matt Hardy reverses the double suplex into a double neck breaker, which looks fantastic. Both Hardys then hit like dives. Jeff's bump is great, and Matt's bump looks pretty fucking painful. Eminem take over and get the heat on Jeff for ages. You get double moves, Melina interference.
The Hardys hit a double wheelbarrow suplex and Eminem respond with a double gutbuster and then a double flapjack. The Hardys are in control until Melina's foot swipe is the cue for them to turn the tide. No heat for this match, but eventually the fans get behind Matt working for the hot tag. Nitro hits Poetry in Motion, but Matt escapes a Twist of Fate Swanton Bomb combo, tagging in Jeff, who runs wild, state of his running wild, and his horrendous jumping swipe that misses by a mile, followed by a shit-looking inverted atomic drop, your favourite, and the "you're not getting anywhere near my crotch, not taking double leg drop." So he does the double leg drop, and Mercury's like...
That's hilarious.
Double dogpile spot as Nitro hits a plancha to the outside, and Jeff does a splash of his own.
Well, it wasn't a splash then.
What was it?
He just jumped. It was like an axe handle. Crap.
Hot tag to Matt.
For only a decent pop, which I thought kind of sad.
He hits a nice running bulldog / clothesline combo, followed by a "I'll take a side effect," because he actually just bumps himself like Canyon. Followed by a much better one. First time in his career, Jeff sets up a Brett's Rope powerbomb, but it's just so Nitro can reverse it into a Hurricane Rana. I was very sad Styles didn't go, "Hurricane Rana!" Yeah, he's just a boring commentator now. And obviously WWE commentators can't say moves. They're not allowed to say moves.
Oh, really?
It's Vince McMahon mandated. Oh, tell the story of a match. So it's all like, "Jeff escaped that one. Close call by Matt," you know.
Nonsensical crap.
The finish is the crowd flip out for the Hardys foiling Melina's distraction. Eminem hit a snapshot, which is a flapjack elevated DDT combo, but can't secure a three.
And then some cunt shouts, "3D ripoff!" It's like an absolute dickhead.
Setting up a super snapshot, Matt hits a double Twist of Fate, puts Mercury in the missionary position on Nitro, sexy pin, and Jeff hits the Swanton on both 4-3.
So, despite Matt doing all the work, Jeff gets the win, because he's more popular. Cunt.
The replay shows Melina botching her big spot. It looked like she almost like broke her elbow.
What did she do?
She just fell backwards and I was like, break my wrist. But she was alright.
Lillian, like.
Yeah, exactly. But she was alright. So congrats.
I actually liked this match. It was great to see the Hardys back again. Top Matt looked awesome. Jeff, okay. There was a couple of good moves. Lots of good, like, double team moves, like the double wheelbarrow and a suplex and double neck breakers and all that stuff. I love seeing that in tag team matches. It was a good opener. I thought it was a bit too long. The thing I disliked about it was commentary. I had no time for it.
I enjoyed it, I have to say. this match and the Elimination Chamber were the only two that felt like pay-per-view matches. It did go on a bit too long, but they were trying to fill space because they had nothing. They had nothing.
But sure, even as it was, like, this card was like 2 hours 20. Like, so even with this match going what we felt long, it's still 40 minutes short. Like,
yeah.
Insane.
Outside of the finish, I didn't think it was very good. Like, I thought the teams didn't gel well together. Like, they had a lot of spots, and some of them were nice, but the pace was generally slow. The Hardys reunion, it didn't feel like a big deal. Like, there wasn't much of a spark. Like, even less than the Shameless DX reunion that happened just recently before the merchandise reunion they had. And everyone seemed knackered straight away. But maybe they had to pace themselves because the match went 22:33, which is far too long. Should be 50 minutes tops, you know? But sadly, it's downhill from here.
How young does Matt Hardy look here? This is only 8 years ago, but it's been a hazardous 8 years for Matt Hardy. Don't do hard drugs, guys.
I get cocky every now and then. I'll say, you paid to see me, you paid to see me, but I made CM Punk a motherfucking superstar. And that's a fact, Jack. And I'll end it like this. Bam! Can't even do that shit in your company anymore. But in this world, we can do it all we want to. So, hello.
I have no idea what CM Punk's deal is with Amy Dumont. I do know that he is very dramatic and very emotional. And anytime she finds herself in a tough spot, I'm the guy she calls.
We get an almost 80s-style short pre-tape vignette of RVD hyping the danger of the Extreme Elimination Chamber, which is an ECW.com exclusive. No, it's fucking not!
You just seen it.
You just showed it to me here!
He also says that he understands that tonight he's going to get battered. That's not a very confident way to go into this.
He ends it on a horrendous campaign slogan.
You think ECW world champion? Think Rob Van Dam.
Well, that, of course, is from .com earlier this week. Oh, here comes your buddy.
My buddy.
Match number two is Balls Mahoney versus former high school social studies teacher Matt Stryker. No, not the Will Ferrell-looking fella, Riot Cop from Mortal Kombat 3.
Stryker.
This is in the time of those fucking stupid names. Ryder, Hawkins, you know, all the fake names.
Oh, man, I think they've only recently given up on that shit, those American names.
Matt Stryker was hired for being fired for using sick days to wrestle in 01 in Japan. It's pretty cool.
So that's
actually
awesome.
True.
Yeah.
What the fuck is social studies?
Like, can civics.
I yeah, civics. Civics. Civics.
It's basically, it's a DOS class.
Yeah. You know the way your civics teacher in school would always be like, they do maths as well, they do geography as well. This would be their shitty year. We need somebody to do this. You've got an hour free. Fuck off in there. He made a career out of being a civics teacher.
Well, he was a substitute teacher.
Part-time.
Part-time.
Part-time. His gimmick is, what else? A condescending teacher. An even less successful Dean Douglas. He had...
He was worse than
Dean Douglas.
He's better than Dean Douglas.
Hold on. I said, Stryker is pretty good, but not a patch on Dean Douglas.
Who got the IC title? Not this lad. He had a chalkboard, but not a paddle, which obviously Douglas would call.
The...
Board of Education.
The fuck was it?
He had a chalkboard, but not a paddle, which Douglas called the...
Board of Education.
Excellent, like we did it twice. Stryker heelishly asked referee John Cohn for extreme enforcement of the rules, which he humorously mimes one by one. I thought it was brilliant.
It's my dream gimmick. Someone who comes out, has a bit of a fucking moan, and then bangs on about the rules. Dave Meltzer 5 out of 5.
Stryker's rules are no gouging of the eyes, no pulling of the hair, no maneuvers off the top rope. I love this, man.
Second rope is okay, though, yeah?
Exactly, yeah. Dangerous rope. And no foul language. I quite enjoyed that. What I didn't enjoy is the many, many close-ups of Stryker's arse.
What the fuck? I don't have the words. It was like someone shoved his jocks up the crack of his arse. And then he just stood there in front of the camera. Here, shoot my hole for a few minutes.
Hungry bum.
He does have the hungry bum, actually.
But
yeah.
He had his face on it, so that's what...
The I'm horrific sure Argyle for. Tights here. Oh my god, with his face like, on it.
I thought the face gimmick. Was poking out. I didn't think it was hungry bum, I thought it was full bum. It was pushing out. And Jay, you're always banging on about his package as well.
It's fucking there, looking at you, winking at you, isn't it?
Yeah, he needs to wear a cup. Fucking hell, man.
And now I bring it up off.
Go on.
Well, Watchman. Watchman.
Fucking swinging penis.
Swinging blue, big blue
Someone
penis.
Someone had to animate that penis. Someone's job for months on end just to get the jostling of the balls and the penis.
Just
together.
Right.
Fuck. But you know, what did that add to that mystique?
When Jay was holding up his hand, you know, to not see the penis, I was suspecting he was holding up his hand so he could only see the penis.
Getting a good, like, measure on, like, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Actually, I might need two hands.
I actually really like the gimmick of forcing a hardcore wrestler to wrestle normally.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Balls is not a good wrestler, and Stryker is pretty average, so it doesn't
I
really work.
I think Balls is better than you'd think he was going to be. You know, like, he's not only, I'm going to smack you in the face with a chair, he's only mostly smack you in the face with a chair. So.
Two decent spots in this match. Kudos, Balls fights to apply the cross arm breaker, and when successful, Stryker immediately gets a rope break. And this is the rarely seen proper use of an arm breaker, like, which would legitimately quickly break your elbow in seconds if you actually applied it. And you see it in MMA a lot. And I think, like, if there would have been the drama, but you could just, the drama would come from trying to get
from
the submission
trying
on,
to break
trying to
that lock.
Yeah.
You know?
And see, wrestling is just used as a shitty wear down rest spot, basically. So, you know, well done, lads. And then there was a hilariously choreographed double commando roll into an armbar by Stryker. Kayfabe shattering, but I thought it was great. And Taz gets on Stryker's case, insinuating he's gay.
Yeah.
A really flat finish as Mahoney does his balls punches and spine buster, which he refuses to take on his knees. He gets the quiet 3 in 7:21. Like, those spots I mentioned were only about 10 seconds long combined. And the rest of this match was punch, kick, stall, boring, yeah. Run out the clock. So, no, bad match.
I wouldn't call it a bad match. I would call it not as bad as I expected match. Which is better than I expected. So, yeah.
A nothing match. The crowd didn't really give a fuck. This would have been like the opening match of an ECW on Sci-Fi episode.
Yes.
What do you think of Taz and Styles on commentary this pay-per-view?
Do not like them. Taz and fuck right off.
Didn't really notice them, so they probably didn't piss me off that much.
So they kept themselves to themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Stryker went on to become a great ECW commentator. Actually serious about that. He was a huge wrestling fan and a historian. He's very sharp and he knows his stuff as well. And also, after the live Raw and then taping SmackDown, Vince would be too knackered to even care about ECW, so people will get to shine, you get to see what they can actually do. He made a horrific decision. He'd routinely embarrass Jerry Lawler, who doesn't watch the show, doesn't know anything, just shows up and spouts out lines, and he'd embarrass him, pick holes in whatever he was saying. For that, he was muzzled and he had his credibility shattered, as Vince would demand he bark out incorrect facts.
Crazy
garbage.
Things, yeah. Like, stupid things he'd say.
So,
like,
buddy,
like what?
The pile driver was invented in 1774 by Mr.
George Washington.
Yes.
So by the end, he became like a worse version of Michael Cole. So it's very sad because you see what he was capable of, and then as soon as he moved to the big leagues, Raw, SmackDown.
Like, he was my favorite commentator for about 6 months. It was like it was so different and so new. I was like, ah, oh, this is really great. And yet they just cut his balls off when he got to Raw. That's it. Don't embarrass the king.
Stryker kept a job hosting NXT, Afterburn, and some international shows and the like until June 2013. Balls Mahoney would go on to find a bag of weed and a Hank sandwich in the trash can.
And Jim Duggan.
Well, I'll be damned. I thought I was in Texas. Hell, I'm not in Texas. I'm in Afghanistan. Hey, boys, check it out. There's a member of the Taliban. Oh, wait a minute. I know you. You're that guy Sabu. The great Sabu. You're that homicidal, genocidal, suicidal guy, yeah. You stay the hell away from me.
Backstage, we see Punk doing a Virgil-esque shadow boxing. I'm sorry, Punk. I didn't mean to put you two together. And after having been attacked, here it is. An unconscious Sabu. Oh, yeah. Polly is informed he can't wrestle in the main event. The chance of bullshit.
So what was happening here?
Why was he pulled? Because Vince wanted a 3-on-3 heel face dynamic. Like, there's loads of rumors going around that Sabu had behavioral issues, like he was passing out backstage, which is true. But that didn't influence this decision. Like, it was rumored that WWE just saw him as a guy. You can only wrestle in gimmicked weapon matches, so we're going to take you out of this gimmicked weapon match. You know, but it makes sense. But no, it was only just to have the 3-on-3 heel face dynamic. And of course, fuck you.
Yes. This was Vince going, you don't like what you like. You like what I tell you you like. He hates ECW, everything that they are.
Yeah.
Our third match pits Elijah Burke and Sylvester Takai versus the FBI. It's the Elijah Experience and the Man Bear versus Little Guido and Tony Mameluke with Trinity, who's falling out of her skimpy red dress. So it's Italy versus Germany? Steve, what jersey are these lads?
Yeah, Jay. Burke and Turkai are a Germany jersey, circa 1990.
Yes, they are dressed in black, gold and red tracksuits straight in from the Bundesliga. Did you know Elijah Burke is CM Punk's least favourite opponent?
Wow.
They only wrestled a handful of times, but Burke was extremely stiff, said to be difficult to work with and quite a prima donna.
But isn't that everything that Punk is in real life?
Bang! So you think they'd be mates? But yeah, maybe they just see the same in each other.
Yeah,
you know.
Didn't they have a match on ECW and like Punk was basically being very patronizing and he was like, Burke hit him a dig. Punk was like, oh, and things like that, just trying to make a fool out of him.
That's really cunty.
Oh, watch Burke hit him! Oh, man!
Wow, that hurt.
Very impressive.
I'm sure those double knees to the small in the back fucking sucked, like,
yeah.
Absolutely sucked. But I've always been a fan of Black Pope. I wouldn't call him a great wrestler, but his promo skills and his character ability is a bit, you know, and just getting the crowd involved and all that stuff, I think he's a good worker. Yeah. Like,
Burke being stiff to begin with was due to him being an amateur boxer and unable to pull his punches correctly. Oh, nice MMA gloves, Turkai.
Yeah.
Turkey here was an MMA fighter and kickboxer, professional record of 3-1 and then 0-2, so he lost his kickboxing fights, both in Japan's K1.
Okay.
Wasn't Turkey quite highly rated when he came in, like he was going to be a big deal. I thought you were quite high on him. No,
I remember the hype that I heard was the guy Kurt Angle beat, so an ex Kurt Angle kind of thing. Then he come in. Oh, jeez, never mind.
Okay,
a tall, real fighter. Vince loves that, but it's like this guy is not a pro wrestler. You know,
that's not enough to make you succeed in pro wrestling. So we got a heatless back and forth, and we get the derisive "change the channel" chant. Do you vent them before the finish?
Wow. Trinity was great.
Whopper, so she is.
Yeah. No.
The FBI tries some double team offense, but Turkey's forearm and the Elijah experience, which is a Russian leg sweep, seals the win for the Germans in 6:41. So right after Burke steals Jeff Jarrett's stroke, Turkey hits Samoa Joe's muscle buster.
TNA, TNA. Yeah,
bit of that go. You don't hear TNA chants anymore.
No, you don't. You heard them between 2005 and 7, which is the time that we bang on about being awesome.
Is that the time that Russo wasn't there?
Yes, that was when it was being booked by Mike Tenay and your man from Team Canada.
What about Dutch Mantel? Is he not in here?
I think.
Or is that who's before?
You're too many vampires!
Scott D'Amore.
Scott D'Amore, thank you.
Yeah, Joe would have been crazy hot in 2006. Awful stuff, anyway.
Wasn't a good match, but I thought that it did its best to get the heels at least somewhat over.
Where's Burke these days? Because we always liked the guy.
Always liked him.
Oh, he's got something later.
Yeah, well, Burke would form the terrible New Blood faction in ECW. Do you remember they had that 2-week shitty angle where CM Punk fake heel turns to break them up from the inside? And then he became Pope D'Angelo De Niro in TNA.
Mm-hmm. So great.
While snagging an off-screen role in the mob in Batman's Dark Knight Rises.
Oh.
You can see pictures of him on set, but not in the film.
So he's an extra.
And Zeus.
Well, in
separate movies.
In Dark Knight, yeah. This one's Dark Knight Rises with Bane.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I don't.
Stay off your mask, mate.
The Man Bear Turkey would go on to form a tag team with Phineas Godwin called Man Bear Pig.
Half man. Half bear pig.
No, then he's half bear, half man pig.
No, he's half man pig, half bear.
Man Bear Pig doesn't care who you are or what you've done. Man Bear Pig simply wants to get you. I'm super cereal.
Backstage, Sabu is taken off in an ambulance as faces RVD and Punk Rubberneck. Then we get an ad for tomorrow's Raw. It's D-Generation X taking on Rated RKO. Actually, no, this is what Kenny Dykstra never joined.
He auditioned and they wouldn't let him in. Because that would have been cool, because it would have been Rated R for Edge, K for Kenny, O for Orton.
It's fantastic, really.
Yeah.
Oh, it's your boy as well.
Stomping a ferret.
Yeah, making a coat. With his ferret.
What a ferret, man. Oh, that was, he was with Johnny Nitro.
What about
at the
all
time?
The times I didn't have a ferret?
Wasn't he engaged to Mickey James?
Yes, he was. He got the banger, yeah.
That is literally living my dreams.
Match number 4.
Son of a bitch!
Match number 4. And you can't give out because that's his theme song.
Yes.
This next contest sees the offensive Arab stereotype Daivari versus Tommy Don't Make Me Cry Dreamer. Seeing Daivari just makes me sad. It's like he's the Guyanese version of Muhammad Hassan.
Yeah.
Daivari does his foreigner heel shtick, hurling abuse at the crowd in Farsi. Led to the ring by the great Kali. Kali meaning empty or oil cake, obviously, which is literally shit fertilizer in English.
Really?
And it's a female gender as well.
And what? Who gave him this name?
A creative. But they knew about it, but they thought, it's still a cool word. Cool word. Let's just use it.
So the great fertilizer.
Yeah. The great empty fertilizer.
Wow.
It's pretty accurate, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. He did spread a lot of shit. Right?
I was watching some Bollywood movie the other day. It was mostly like a superhero movie. It's called Mooga Moody, if you're looking for it. It's on Netflix. I was like, man, for like a Bollywood movie, this is good. There's been no dancing, no singing, no fucking begging, no nothing. And 10 minutes in, fucking 8-minute song hits. It's like, Dirty Lee.
Where does that land on racism?
Yeah, that's fine.
It's,
okay. No, that's perfect.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's not perfect.
No, I just that is a cover version of Dirty Lee. Dirty Lee!
See, do you remember when we were on elective in India? We actually got to watch Raw.
That is right, yeah.
And do you remember this? You know, this is before Twitter, so they had the ticker tape at the bottom with people would text in what they thought of Raw. And I was like, oh, great Kali, it's super!
He's so over in India!
And they would audio sweeten the shit out of his matches.
And they would edit it so that he would be in the main event of each show.
Fuck off.
And, oh, it was amazing. Oh, great Kali! Dirty Lee! It's not racist. That's a genuine attempt to sound like an Indian gentleman.
And we gave thousands to the Father Muller Snakebite Fund.
Yeah. That's fucking right. Yeah, we gave them money.
Did you know Sabu once wrestled in Daivari's tights because he forgot his?
I do, yes.
Oh, then never mind. Daivari is facing, fuck me, Tommy Dreamer. So much like Balls versus Stryker, and Burkay versus FBI, we have a running theme of old ECW versus new ECW. Will the new ECW get over? Let's see. Kali gets caught interfering by low bridging Dreamer, and referee Mickey Henson gives us a wonderful. As Monsoon would say, oh my god, it's Rest Hold City. Just endless, endless rest holds. Poor Taz, he tries to impart knowledge about a rear naked choke, pondering if the bicep is near Dreamer's jawline. But Daivari isn't applying it at all, he's just hugging him, basically. So whatever good work he was trying to do is ruined. That's what you get for trying to actually call the match.
Mm.
Do you have anything before the finish?
Nope.
Another woeful match. Tommy hits a tree of woe running baseball slide, and Daivari escapes a DDT for a schoolboy and the three in 7:22. Post-match, Kali chokeslams Dreamer on the ramp.
Ouch. Jesus painful. Christ, yeah.
Channeling Million Dollar Mania, deadpan Tommy says, I can't feel my feet.
Pan.
And the commentators use the Owen voice to get over the seriousness of this lower card feud.
Owen voice for this.
But he should never have taken that spot. It was horrendous.
No, I mean, on a pay-per-view where your match wasn't even advertised.
Mm.
So, literally, not one person in the world purchased this for this match.
Mm.
Why don't do it?
Yeah. You could have thrown him off the stage onto a pile of mattresses and it would have...
The chicken coop. Like.
The Jeff Hardy special.
Yeah.
The Rikishi special.
Oh, well, he did the sawdust, wasn't it? Sawdust, the mattresses and the sawdust.
On the truck, right?
Yeah. Strategically placed truck.
Who brought this mattress here? Which one did Jeff Hardy do? The chicken coop. He did the chicken coop.
Yeah.
Where was it? when was this chicken coop
it
match?
Was before Royal Rumble 2008 with Randy Orton. Do you remember the worst Raw ever? With Triple H, the sledgehammer into the duvet.
Oh, that's right.
Can you splice his split?
Break the set with the smallest piece of the set. Duvet.
He would go up, you know, the Raw the sign, set. And then he'd look and the fans would go, and he'd go up higher, and then he goes down, you can see the bits of foam, like...
Sorry, the chicken coop was Umaga. The Randy Orton was his mattresses.
Okay. Steve, what bar is the Vary?
Well, Jay, the Vary is wearing his purple and yellow MC Hammer pants. So he is a twirl.
Very nice. I love twirls.
One of my favorites.
Yeah,
really, they are my most hated bar ever.
Because they're bland, maybe.
Because they're plain Cadbury's chocolate.
You don't like plain Cadbury's chocolate.
No.
Me neither. Yeah.
No.
It's basically a kind of a flake that's encased in a bar.
So none of, when you're trying to eat a flake, the fucking thing goes
everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking baby again, like chocolate everywhere.
We'll get you an OSW babe, man.
Ooh.
It's time for the ad break questionarium.
I was recently talking to a friend and they were telling me that their friend had a baby girl recently and she was giving out that they chose quite possibly the stupidest name in the history of names, right? So I'm just going to show you and Jay will splicey up on the screen and you have to tell me how this name is pronounced.
Is that a comma?
Yes. Brucey, bonus points for whoever gets it right.
So just write it phonetically in the comments before you... Never mind. We'll go on the honor system. Yeah. So let us know if you get it right or not.
Wow, the stinger.
Timmy, I'm from the Dream Come True Fantasy Contest. You ready to wrestle?
You bet. Mom! Dad, it's really him! Hold on. Okay, now I'm ready.
It looks so real.
Don't count on Sprite to do anything but quench your thirst.
Wanna go to R3?
Right, Jay.
So the question for the ad break questionarium is, how do you pronounce this name? L-E-A. And I shall say, Leia.
That's what I guessed, but no. Actually, Fox. Yeah, go.
I'm going to say Leia.
Okay, this name is pronounced Ladasha.
Oh, what?
That's not a fucking dash. That's a comma, not a hyphen.
Yes, keep it coming. These are all things I shouted at my friend's niece yesterday.
Do they think it's a dash?
Who fucking knows? They're clearly idiots. Tortilla. But yeah, that's it. Bizarre.
Nobody's gonna get that.
Give out in the comments.
Holy cow. That was great though. Enjoyed
that. Yeah.
Nothing to do with wrestling. Backstage, Heyman substitutes Sabu with
Honey, I like me now.
I was more thinking.
Steve, our boys are in the main event.
Oh shit.
Holy shit.
Oh my god.
On the biggest pay per view 2006. Fuck me, man.
The mega powers colliding here. In the Extreme Elimination Chamber.
Oh my goodness.
So just to recap, so far we've had a tag match with no ECW wrestlers, three original ECW versus new ECW wrestlers. The original ECW lose all three matches in three stinkers. And so now, for the main event, Sabu's been taken out and replaced by Bucktooth arsehole Bob Holly.
ECW! ECW!
Buttplug's promo here. I counted 10 words. I like that. I understand that. So do I. And right. That's Thurman.
Yep.
Main event. Fuck it. Oh my god. At this point, I was like, oh god, just someone save this pay-per-view. And then it's like Mike Knox's theme. And it's like, oh my god!
Jay!
what time?
It's Mike Knox.
Well, Steve, Mike Knox, his left hand is
at 3.
His right hand is at a 10. Mike Knox is 10:15.
Fucking love it.
And he doesn't do it.
Kelly.
It's like the one time he didn't do it.
Kelly's holding his hand, so he couldn't do it.
Yeah. But even when he gets up on the ropes, he just puts his hands up in the air.
Yeah. Steve, when Mike Knox gets up on the second rope, what time is he?
Well, Jay, at that point in time, he's the same time as the great Kali, 12 o'clock.
I would also accept 11:05.
11:05 will do it.
Yeah. Or 12:05. So the gimmick here is the L Mark Merrow Sable jealous boyfriend shtick, where 10:15 would conveniently break up Kelly's striptease every week. It didn't get him any lasting heat, like as soon as the spot ended, that's the end of it. Same fate as Merrow, actually. The scandal here being that Kelly has a crush on CM Punk, a pairing that would have killed CM Punk, much like Kiss of Death, Tori Wilson.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Ooh, Kevin Thorne and Ariel, two followers in vampirism. It's like, Kevin, though, is that the least intimidating name for a vampire?
Kevin? I never thought of it like that.
Like, his name's Kevin Furtick, so that's, you're right, you got Kevin, but change your name, man.
He
could be Gangrel.
He basically was back in the past before your fucking boy ruined him by no-selling. That's right. Fucking Mordecai when he came up. Awesome gimmick. He's the anti-taker. He's, you know, he's white, white hair, white staff, white gear. Fucking amazing. And they stick him in a feud with Thurman, Sparky Plug. He no-sells the shit out of him. He slaps the shit out of him. And he is sent packing after that feud. Comes back up about 5 years later and he's Kevin Vampire Dude. Like,
well, that's a shame.
How can you bring in this tailor-made feud for The Undertaker? It's clearly what it's for and never even get there.
Yeah, but you can't... Like, you can't blame Butt Plug for ruining his career.
You can absolutely blame Butt Plug for ruining his career. He fucking did it. Like... Oh, it was
that's
a massive
such a shame, because they even brought back the Mordecai gimmick and look for Shawn Michaels versus Taker at WrestleMania.
That's right, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, oh, you took it. That's not yours.
Yeah. It was. Oh, he made it work. Amazing. Yeah, he made it work.
Shelly Martinez, Ariel here, was introduced as a tarot card reader. She's much hotter here as a vampire in goth lingerie. Lingerie. She's much hotter here as a vampire in goth lingerie. Lingerie. Okay. Yeah. And does some upside down ring entrance. That was pretty hot.
Yes, it was. And the entire crowd also agreed.
I don't think Kevin Thorne should be wearing regular tights either. You know, Test has his leather jocks. You know, I think they look much nicer.
Definitely.
Styles mentions bike clubs, which is exactly what you think it'd be, but I thought it was also a cool tag name if they did have vampires. Mm. And I also thought Ariel's name, so Kevin Thorne and Ariel, I thought her name would be Rose, because every rose has its thorn. Mm.
It's actually pretty good.
Sorry. Man, that went over. I thought you'd kill me for that.
No, that's actually not that bad. By the way, I have a bar for Kevin Thorne. It's amazing. You're going to mark out for it.
Steve! What bar is Kevin Vampire Dude?
Well, Jay, Kevin Thorne is wearing a fantastic little red, black and white getup. So he is a special edition Coffin Crisp. Ooh. Drops the fucking mic.
I love it.
Yeah, it was a Halloween toffee crisp.
Fantastic. Oh, your favourite.
Yeah.
Three heels in this match. Kelly's by herself, but since she's awful, she spends limited time in the ring, meaning the crowd have to watch the vaunted heel versus heel matchup, so they rightly sandbag 10:15 versus Kevin Vampire Dude. Oh, what? Oh, Ariel. Monster wabos.
Monster arse as well. Just, yeah.
Do you see the camera gets a good look of her arse when she chokes Kelly with her boot in the corner? And then he realises, holy shit, and they back away. So she continues doing it and they don't never
need
bring
to bring
it back.
Bring back the perf cam from TNA.
Oh, the perf cam is amazing.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, I was like, Ariel, the Monster Wabo's great arse, great gimmick, great entrance. Why didn't you stick around? And then she wrestles. That's why.
She doesn't need to wrestle though. She could literally just come out and show her arse every week and that's good enough. $100,000 a year, love.
Well, yeah, and she's no worse than people like Candice Michelle.
She's better because she at least has an image. Her image isn't hot, attractive girl.
Or Jay, Candice Michelle.
I believe she had one of the greatest theme songs of all time.
Well, tell me what it was.
All eyes on. We're so sorry.
Although that song needs more siren, because there's also a boo.
Steve, do you want to do the boo again? All eyes on. You're welcome. Ariel and Kelly have a slow, stomping, hair-pulling affair. It's not good. Run down the clock as it's time for the finish. Mike Knox pulls a strike force breakup as instead of tagging Kelly out, he drops from the apron and leaves ringside. An emotional roller coaster, no doubt, with some sizzling gypsies thrown in. Ariel hits the devastating push trip. There's no doubt she's awful. And uses the arson face cradle shock sexy pin to win in 7:43. And that another nothing match.
Going for a tag. Mike Knox jumps down. The Jay Hunter. Best angle ever. I don't understand why he didn't do that immediately. Why did he bother getting in the ring? He was tired. He was getting beaten down. Just fucking...
Maybe it wasn't the correct...
time? Magic, Steve. Magic. So that's it. 1 hour, 25 minutes into the pay-per-view and there's one match left, the main event.
Woo! It's just fucking amazing.
Let's fill some time. Everyone, walk very slowly.
That Sandman truly an ECW original. Hey everybody, I'm Michael Cole from SmackDown.
Pre-taped vignette of no credibility, Michael fucking Cole. And he spouts... Oh, that's Sandman. A true ECW original. My God, there's nuclear heat here. Fuck right off. I mean, like, why couldn't Styles do this? Like, he's the corporate WWE shill who spouts garbage and has no credibility.
Yeah.
It's a giant fuck you. And it was Vince intentionally put it in here as a giant fuck you. Fuck you buying my pay-per-view. What are you doing, you idiot? Gotta buy Armageddon. It's in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And fucking, did you see their main event? It's a tag match with Funley. Funley in the main event.
Obviously, we're doing it next, right?
Oh, God, no.
What is with 2006 state of 2006? My boy Test, your boy Thurman in the main event, your boy Funley in the main event. The fuck?
Bo.
SmackDown pay-per-views were like Booker, Funley, Bobo, Batista. That was it for a year. Yeah. Like, wow.
Dave Taylor.
Kane.
Dave Taylor.
I actually liked him for a bit.
Oh, of course you did. Hey. Does he have no personality? Yes. Does he wrestle like a wrestler? Yes. Get in my stable.
It was too funny to take offense.
But right now, let's send you back to more ECW's December to dismember.
People like to come up to me and tell me that I got nice ink. Except these tattoos aren't just decorations. They're declarations. Every tattoo I have tells its own story about who I am. Drug free. Honor. In a war against this system. See, I'm not just some kid looking for the next thrill. I'm an extremely disciplined athlete craving to compete with the very best. My name is CM Punk.
Diva Search backstage interviewer and one-time lumberjill Rebecca DiPietro chats to Bobby Lashley, recaps ECW this past week, where Bobo got beat down by Heyman's security goons and his two other goons, Test and Big Show. Can the Lasher overcome the Odge? Odge? Especially now that Hardcore Holly is in the main event? Yeah. Probably.
Overcome the odds? I don't give a damn what Paul Heyman throws at me. Because there's not anyone or anything that's going to stop me. One man, one mission. ECW World Champion.
Man, even in a pre-tape promo, he's bland as fuck. Just no charisma. He's nothing.
Like, yeah, as cutting promos, terrible. Thought he had a great look. Thought he was okay in the ring. I never hated Bubba.
Oh, you're so ignorant. Cuts a promo like Michael Jackson.
True.
Yeah, why not watch Heyman, Holly and Big Show walk backstage? Paul Heyman cuts an in-ring promo, introducing the Extreme Elimination Chamber with some very telling lines.
Long after my death, ECW will live on. I personally would have liked to have seen the suicidal, homicidal, genocidal, death-defying Sabu within the chamber, but let's all be honest with each other. The day of Sabu and the Sandman and Rob Van Dam has come to an end. This is the age of the global phenomenon of ECW, led by your world champion, the 7-foot-tall, 500-pound Big Show.
And more time wasting. Styles runs down the rules as the chamber slowly, slowly descends. And see, they changed the awesome cage lowing sound. It used to be like. And now it's now. Time between the last match ending and the Elimination Chamber starting is.
I'm gonna say 9 minutes.
17.
27 minutes.
Whoa!
Fuck off.
Don't you mess with my boss!
Finally, it's time for your...
Finally!
It's time for your main event. Mean Gene, play us in.
My name is Thurman Plug, but my friends, they call me Sparky. You call me Sparky too. I'm so excited about being here, but do you know what I like most about being here? Is when I'm strapped in the seat of that race car and I'm flying down that straightaway and they drop that green flag, I pedal to the metal. Just like when I come to the World Wrestling Federation, I'm gonna walk down that aisle, and when I get in the ring and when they ring that bell, I'm gonna be wide open, pedal to the metal, and ain't nobody gonna stop Sparky Plug.
It's time for your main event, a six-man Extreme Elimination Chamber. It's ECW Champion Big Show defending against Rob Van Dam, CM Punk, Bobby Lashley, Test, and main eventer Hardcore Holly. A gimmick on top of a gimmick. How TNA of you? Because the draw of an Extreme match or an Elimination Chamber is not good enough.
Yeah.
What makes this extreme? Oh, I'll tell you. Every pod comes with a weapon. Big Show has a barbed wire bat. Test has a crowbar.
which is seldom, you never see it in wrestling.
No, because you fucking killed someone with one of them.
But you do see it in like musicals with a tough guy, the street tough. Punk has a steel chair. And the best one, the Lasher, has to share his pod with a large unwieldy table.
That sucks.
Are you having a laugh? Before this match started, I said, I bet Big Show's outlast in the pod.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Because being a heel champ in cahoots with the GM, Paul Heyman, he'll get gassed the quickest and knackered the fastest, so he'll be the last one to enter, so he can spend the least time in the ring. Spoilers, that's what happens. Entrances, take your time. RVD's outlast. Ooh, he was actually the only one to get a pre-taped vignette earlier, and he had to win his world championship match against Big Show. And then he got bait and switched as Heyman added the four other competitors into this match. And he had to win again to keep his place in. So he's been positioned as the favourite who's worked the hardest.
No, I mean, like, tonight. Obviously he's going to win. Like,
yes.
He's the only one who got a pop.
RVD and Buttplug Holly start off.
Steve!
What bar is Hardcore Holly?
Well, Jay... Hardcore Holly is wearing a purple, white and yellow pair of trunks. So, obviously, he's a biscuit and raisin Yorkie.
Nasty, but I like
them. I love them!
Fuck. You can have all of them. Man.
Okay! Yeah!
Steve. Okay, I can't ask you this. Steve, why don't you like Hardcore Holly?
The main reason, there's more than one, is because... he's a massive cunt.
And the first thing Bob does is kick Matt in the ribs. And then Bob hits Matt like three times, like as hard as he can in the neck. Pulls his hair, throws him in the corner, starts chopping him. I mean, we were thinking, you know, what is this? It was like serious shit. It was brutal.
You remember on Tough Enough season 2 or 3? He was one of the trainers and... he just put those guys through absolute hell. Battered them day in, day out. He's been used like JBL, one of the locker room... I don't know the
bullies.
Word. Locker room bully. Thank you, Jay. He's sent out there whenever a younger wrestler does something that the top brass don't like to teach them a lesson. And yeah, he's just really nasty.
Yeah, so he's famous for stiffing and hazing new wrestlers and beating the absolute tar out of them.
Most famously, probably Matt Capitelli, the guy who turned out had a brain tumor. That was, whoa, poor fucking guy.
Oh my God, but read his book, he's so misunderstood. Daniel Puner beat the shit out of him at the Rumble. So misunderstood.
I actually only watched the Daniel Puner thing, I'd say, within the last year. Himself, Benoit and Eddie... oh my God, they destroy this guy. It's. I understand he did something he shouldn't have done with Kurt Angle a couple of months earlier, but there's no reason that this hiding, if it needs to happen, can't happen backstage, you know? And so, like, doing it in-ring, being an unprofessional prick, like...
So, yeah, Kurt Angle asked to shoot fight, and with the Tough Enough guys, he said, yeah, I'll do it. And he actually got Angle in...
I think he
had him, like, an armbar, or what?
I think it was in an armbar. And Kurt Angle had to, like, push him back up and get, like, one shoulder covered in the ref to the fast count.
Oh, it was great. On Angle's part, it was very smart.
Yes. I mean, the fact that he didn't tap out to that is...
because he was about to break his arm.
He was going to break his arm, yeah. Mm. But, yeah, he probably shouldn't have done that, but I also don't think he should have paid the price that he paid. Also, he's a terrible promo and not a great wrestler. Sorry, Steve.
Yeah, so
don't hate me, Steve.
Yeah, so Hardcore Holly, booktooth, talentless, bitter old arsehole.
I did not want to say that in front of you, Steve.
We're not speaking ill of Thurman Sparky.
Well, that's and that's the key,
only hardcore.
That's the key difference.
Okay.
Thurman was it? He was a fun-loving guy, colourful outfits, drove a fancy car, and he came out and clapped hands with the people. That's the kind. That's what I remember.
It was so good, Thurman Sparky Plug, that it inspired a tag team in WCW called the Pit Crew.
Ooh!
Wow!
Splice.
Nice. But as far as Thurman goes, where? What's your stance on Thurman?
I wouldn't say main eventer, like Austin Rock, but maybe like a Taker level.
Yeah, that,
like, you know,
the cornerstone of the business, kind of.
Yeah, the
like
conscience.
A Taker, yeah. HBK,
yeah,
Kurt Angle ish level.
Yeah, just hanging, floating around there.
Heyman had been unsuccessfully trying to get Holly into the Elimination Chamber for God knows what reason. Well, he is hardcore.
No.
And he gets his wish tonight. Before Van Damme does his Spider-Man spot, he remembers he's at odds with Tess, and so he flips him off. And Tess reciprocates with a, "Come here, I'll get you." His second splash misses, and he guillotines himself on the top rope. Oh, that high flyer, hardcore Holly. First time ever tries his own top rope nothing. And of course, it's countered by RVD's boot. I hate that spot in wrestling, the do things you never do just to get countered. Like, we had it earlier in the night. Like, since when does Jeff Hardy do Brett's rope power bombs? Oh, no, because it gets countered.
Frankensteiner, yeah.
Oh, there was an awful move. RVD misses a quick drop kick from the canvas that Holly sells anyway. It's like, and it's time for a new main event.
It's gonna be CM Punk. It is CM Punk. The ECW fans are gonna get their wish.
I love the shit Jaws music. It's CM Punk with a chair. Channeling Sabu, RVD throws the chair into Punk's head. It must take a long time training to not put your hands up if someone's throwing a chair at your face.
But what if they're cunt and they throw it sideways and it's coming with the bar at you?
You decked them afterwards, I think.
Yeah.
Straight afterwards, we get a nice contrived spot where Punk jumps over RVD's sweep and leg drops Van Damme's head into a chair. The crowd pipe down as soon as Holly revives and wrestles Punk. Kills him. So at this point, both RVD and Punk have bladed. Punk takes a superplex, and here comes a new challenger. Jaws music, it's Test with a crowbar. The metal object, not the WCW wrestler. RVD hits Test with a chair, and then Hardcore Holly, and hits Punk with a Van Sarah Connor. And oh my god, he pins Punk. 1, 2, 3, he's out.
Forced by another face. The entire... Right, you said earlier that the whole point of Vince taking out Sabu to put in Holly was so he could have a 3-on-3 heel versus face. And then RVD eliminates Punk first. Like the jobber that he was. I can't believe it. And
of all the people you want to take out of this match, Punk is not—he's not high on the list. You need some energy in there. He was doing something a little bit different, and you just got these fucking plodding bastards walking around the fucking place.
Oh my god! I mean, you tell me that you can't take out Test or Thurman first.
Yeah.
You know,
our boys—they survived. Fans initially cheer the fall. And then boo when they realise Punk's out. Tess delivers a big boot to Holly. And fuckwit Holly kicks out despite that being his exit. The ref counts it anyway and Tess celebrates. So there ends the ballad of main eventer, Hardcore. Steve, what did you think of Hardcore's contributions?
I thought it was... I can't defend it, sorry. There's not much I can say. Like, in fairness to him... It's a second main event. I mean, let's not forget Royal Rumble.
So what a career, eh?
Yeah,
how about
that? It'd be great if they put on that music for his elimination. Scooching up the ramp.
RVD hits a lovely jumping kick to Test and gets up on the Big Show's pod. He flips off Show, who doesn't react to it, but then he grabs RVD's foot so Tess could wang him with a chair. Tess pulls down RVD from the pod. Oh, massive big flat back bump. And Tess, my boy, hits a big time elbow from the top of the Big Show's pod onto the chair and RVD's head. 1, 2, 3, RVD is out!
ECW.
You don't like what you think you like. However, you will like
what I tell you to like.
Man, fuck. Although, in all fairness, that elbow off the pod looked fucking great. It was really cool.
Wonderful. So the two most popular guys are gone. RVD, the fans' favourite, and he was expected to win. And then second most favourite, the indie street cred, fresh talented babyface CM Punk. He's gone. Hardcore Holly's gone. And we're left with no thank you Big Show, no thank you Lasher, and the absolutely not mid-carder test.
Easy,
of course we get the deserved bullshit, and where's our refund chance? Oh, by the way, Test has to hang on until the next guy, Lasher, comes out. And so, you know, he's there for 2 minutes. Lasher's out next. Heyman's goons keep Lasher's pod closed, if you're wondering. They're the Bashams. Giving Bobo the reason to bust the chains of the pod's roof with the table. And he escapes into the ring. It's a really cool spot, actually.
Yeah, it was okay.
Well, it's not that scary if you have these chains, the unbreakable chains, but they come off the sides really easy, you know? But anyway, it was I thought it was a very cool spot. Not as cool as Goldberg, who just punched through the glass.
That was awesome. He was both like the greatest wrestler who'd ever lived in that fucking match.
Yeah, 2003 SummerSlam Elimination Chamber was awesome. Until the finish where he lost.
Fucking bicycle shorts over there.
I actually quite like this. The Roid Monsters of Bobo and Test have an above average exchange. Lasher, man, lovely, nice, crisp suplex. Quite like that. And Bobby follows up a crowbar to the midsection with a spear and a three. Oh, he never used his table. It was just there for the escape the pod spot. Last out is the Windy Big Show. As the crowd chant TNA and boo Lashley.
That's amazing. I love this.
They even start chanting for Big Show out of spite. So Show, he has a barbed wire baseball bat. And of course, he can't hit Lasher with it. You know, that would hurt. The best you can do with a barbed wire baseball bat is that you can hit one guy in the stomach once if they're wearing two layers of clothes.
Or with your hand. That fucking hunter spot with the sledgehammer.
Big Show gets the baseball bat caught in the Elimination Chamber's chains, and that's the end of that. So, much like he did the test, Lasher throws Big Show through a pod, unseating the plexiglass. Lashley escapes Big Show's running power slam. Fine time to do that for the first time. A move you've never hit. So he hits another spear from a different rope to chance of you fucked up. Bobby Lashley, 1, 2, 3, the new ECW champion, the big roidy guy, no ties, no characteristics of ECW. Did you even use a weapon? Yeah. He wins the world title.
Oh, so bad.
I do feel sorry for him, though.
For Bobby?
Yeah.
No.
Seems like a nice bloke.
I'm sure he is. Nice bloke doesn't make you a good pro wrestler, you know?
But not Punk, not RVD. Anyone who is champion there is going to get booed out of it. You don't want that for your first title win, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely, without doubt, the worst chamber match has ever been. I felt really bad for the fans being fucked over with the ECW guys, with RVD and Punk being out early, Sabu not even being in it, Bobo Lashley winning the belt. Hi. That's about it. I've nothing much else to say about this match. Disappointing. I'd be furious if I paid a penny for it. Absolutely furious.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much along the same lines. Keep Punk and RVD in as long as possible, because at least they were hitting some spots. Fair play to Test for his elbow drop. What I do find interesting, quite humorous about Elimination Chamber matches in general, especially this one, is the, you know, when people are banging the glass and trying to get out. But like Big Show had his nose pressed up against the glass for quite a lot of it, which I found like a little puppy dog. It was just quite good. Yeah. He was in terrible shape. I had said previously that he looks big and he looks like a monster, but now he's just fucking... He's like, it looks like he's on the verge of death at this point. It was okay in parts. Early on, it was quite entertaining occasionally, but really, really slowed down at the end and to a massive anticlimax.
Yeah, I agree. Like, horrific booking that was intentionally horrific. Like, there's no way you cannot think taking out your two big baby faces at the start will do anything but disaster. So it was designed as a giant fuck you and is such. So, but if you can get past the terrible booking, it actually wasn't a bad match at all. I didn't, like, I actually enjoyed watching it. But you've already braced for the absolute worst.
Fine.
Mm. And when we went off the air, I got on DirecTV, I got a screen, Peter Frampton live.
Oh.
That was like the 4 a.m. sleeping in the background music.
Nice. Can you feel?
What was that song?
Can you feel?
Can you feel?
That's awesome.
So, never used in ECW, Pyro goes off and Styles bids us goodnight.
With 40 minutes to spare.
One man, one mission, one ECW champion. Mission accomplished. Bobby Lashley accomplished his mission tonight. There's a match that will make you believe. Four monsters that could only be loved by a mother will do battle in a ring, in a fight like no other. Mark Henry, Kane, the Great Khali, and Big Daddy V are ready to toil in an ECW Monster Mash Battle Royal. Live tonight on ECW.
The Monster Mash, the Halloween brawl with the Big Titty V, Kane.
Greg's match!
Mark Henry,
Greg Kelly. Yeah, oh my god.
Spooch. All of Greg's
match. Oh my goodness.
It's like you've never looked worse in your career. Get this on you. Get them tits out. So, what did you think of the pay-per-view overall?
So, the good things. This looked like a WWE show. It doesn't look cheap. There's more than a couple of 100 fans there. However, I think that's also a bad point as well, because then you're taking away from what made ECW, ECW. The opener. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Matt Stryker. I thought his promo was good. I thought his gimmick was awesome. And his wrestling was okay. Elijah Burke, same again. Just thought he was a good character. He was something new on this show. Fantastic. Ariel and Kelly Kelly. Yeah, and Kevin Vampire Dude. Enjoyed all of them. Things I didn't like about the show was Taz and Joey Styles on commentary. They just annoyed me the entire night. Balls. He's just terrible. Sabu being taken out of the main event. The booking of the main event. And the main event itself. Dreamer, fuck off, and Daivari. Overall, I thought this show, opening match is good. It'd be worth checking out on YouTube. Everything else is bad. And then the main event, it's not a terrible match, but everything else about it makes me furious and makes me want to give out. I could never recommend this show even for free. Can only imagine how people were back in 2006. Just fucking state of your show, mate. So yeah, that's it. Do not watch.
Yeah, it was basically an episode of ECW. On sci-fi, with the exception, and it had an elimination chamber, and the first match was, you know, pretty good. If I had paid for it, as you say, I would have been livid. But then again, I never would have paid for it. And anyone who did pay for it, what the fuck were you expecting?
Yeah.
No surprise, this pay-per-view was awful. It was a huge fuck you to not only ECW fans, but wrestling fans in general. Like, watching it back now, it's not so bad because I'm braced for. But at the time, I did watch it live and I absolutely hated it. The only thing keeping me from hating it more is that it's gone down in history as one of the worst pay-per-views of all time. It was a quick watch, though. Like, apart from the 27-minute lollygagging before the main event, the whole pay-per-view was 2 hours, 21 minutes. That's not even close to the regular 3 hours. So, of the 2 hours, 21, only 77 minutes of wrestling was there. And 84 minutes of faffing about. But, as a positive, it's the biggest night and best showing for my boy Test. So, 5 stars.
Dave Meltzer.
So, how did December 2 Dismember do? You probably know already, it's infamous. It's worth noting that the quality of the show has no bearing on pay-per-view buys, because, like, it was doomed before it went live. Like, a pay-per-view lives and dies by the build-up, not the actual show. December 2 Dismember was sandwiched between 2 pay-per-views very close together. So, it happened a week after the Survivor Series.
A week?
Very little promotion. He had a week to promote the show. And it was 2 weeks before the next WWE pay-per-view, Armageddon. On top of that, only 2 matches were announced before it aired. The WWE's Hardys M&M tag match and the Elimination Chamber. June to December. You've had 6 months to build towards the pay-per-view. You know it's happening. But after 6 months of drizzling shit, the bastardization of ECW, fans had little incentive to buy it. And they didn't. You had 4,800 in attendance, which is half of your regular audience, and 1,200 were free comps.
But, like, what about these 1 million, 2 million fans they're getting on a weekly basis? They couldn't even be given free tickets.
Yeah, basically. It's not worth the petrol in. 90,000 pay-per-view buys, of which 52,000 are from America. That's a catastrophic failure. So you're getting half the audience in attendance and a third of the pay-per-view buys of the average B show for WWE. Like, 90,000 is the cost of airing it, actually just having it on pay-per-view. It's the second lowest in history after the Wrestling Classic, Episode 2, which got 47,000 buys. But that's like, pay-per-view was only in its infancy there. People were still closed-circuit television. It's far more popular. A bit of perspective, though, 90,000, still 30,000 higher than TNA's biggest pay-per-view, which is Angle Joe Lockdown. So what went wrong? Heyman's original booking had RVD to win and have Punk tap out Big Show at the start of the match, which would guarantee a new champion. You know, Heyman would use that in the old ECW, like Heatwave 96, Anarchy Rules 99, and it sounded pretty cool. Vince hated it. But Big Show actually endorsed it. He was happy to put over Punk. You see, he was almost, he was the living dead here at this pay-per-view. He was about to leave and rehab his injuries. Vince rebooked it so Bobby Lashley won. He thought it'd be great having a new champion and having a lengthy celebration at the end. So it's the day of the show, and Heyman repeatedly tells Vince all day long, the people are going to throw this back in our face. The booking is horrific. But Vince stood his ground, let his vision pan out, and it did. It was universally hated, just as Paul predicted. So the following day, Paul Heyman was sent home, still under contract, and given the boot from ECW Creative. Vince cited slumping TV ratings and a disgruntled talent roster as the cause, i.e. he squarely placed the blame on Heyman for Vince's failures.
Yeah, who had opposed... Damn opposed. what the booking was, and Vince used him as a scapegoat. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's disgraceful. Heyman would officially leave WWE a few months later, turning down Stephanie's offer to go back to his original post, which was head of developmental creative in FCW. So yeah, typical McMahon bullshit. Book the way I want you to book. Now change it, because I want something else. It's shit? Oh, well, you booked it. And, it's your fault. Get out. What the fuck is that, you know? Mr. McMahon and his ass.
International looking ass.
Mr. McMahon.
One big positive of December to Dismember being such a failure is it cancelled all future single-branded pay-per-views. So no more ECW pay-per-views, no more Raw and SmackDown pay-per-views. It's all pay-per-views had all three brands on it.
It's a good thing.
Yes. So it did good. That's how bad it was. So under 4 years later, under Dave Lagana and then Dusty Rhodes and the WWE Brain Trust, ECW would come to resemble nothing about its roots.
Oh, here we go, Josh.
I would like to proudly announce that in 3 weeks' time, ECW will be going off the air.
A little over 3 years later, ECW would be cancelled. Its closure was announced in a quick, flippant promo by Vince, hinting at NXT. See you later. Thanks very much.
A new, innovative, never-before-seen program broadcast at the very same time here on Sci-Fi. This will be the next evolution of the WWE. This will be the next evolution of television history. Thank you very much.
The books were closed on this bastardization on its final broadcast on February 16, 2010. Since then, TNA have taken up the charge of beating ECW to death with their Hardcore Justice pay-per-views and co-promoting shows with Tommy Dreamer's indie-fed House of Hardcore. What is the legacy of WWE ECW? Let's hit the Wrestling Is...
Bullshit.
Segment.
Hey, Teddy. You want to see me?
Tell you what, Armando. I'll give you another opportunity. Tonight, you're going to go one-on-one with ECW's newest superstar.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Braden Walker. And I'm going to knock your brains out.
So you understand me. Yoshi-san? Go standard!
Why don't we take a look and see how that panned out?
Well, we saw what happened to Colin Delaney.
Take a look and see how that panned out.
And if you're a compassionate person...
Or not!
It was difficult
anyway, to... Anyway, Colin, basically what happened was...
Oh my God, no! No! What the hell?
Ricky Ortiz with the Riccio rally towel.
Oh, the chieftain of the cha-cha and the temptress of the tango, the dancing duo of DJ Gabriel and Alicia Fox.
Weighing 265 pounds, the alpha male, Marcus Corbin. The following contest is a Gulf of Mexico match. The only way to win this match is to throw your opponent into the Gulf of Mexico.
I was stung by a jellyfish.
No!
Number 26.
Ooh, Chavo.
The new ECW champion, Chavito!
And Chavo Guerrero, who arguably stole the ECW champion.
Chavo got booked, what the hell? Wait a minute!
Oh!
Cover! What? That's it!
On a car door to kill switch from the ECW champion, Dreamer's down! Dreamer's out!
I am disgusted! The sex, the violence, and the language!
You see Batista getting pushed off and getting outpowered.
Batista challenges the ECW world champion, the Big Show!
Batista may be used to overpowering his opponents, but can anyone on planet Earth overpower the Big Show?
No,
you can't.
Huge right shoulder came up off the canvas.
Now this crowd is chanting boring, and this match is anything but boring.
Watch this!
No way! Rob Van Dam versus Hardcore Holly, Extreme Rules, and there you see a gash.
Oh my God, look at that.
Gash.
We'll see you all next time on the Abraham Washington Show.
Yeah, look at that leg kick. Jamaican me crazy, Kofi.
And the self-proclaimed King of Extreme.
What up, G?
Samuel Jackson capitalized, through a table, and became the new and final ECW champion.
Chris has always been a fearless champion.
Seems to me that the new Superstar Initiative is becoming very successful. Now, it has brought in some very big, promising young talent.
Hey, man, don't worry about a thing. I got your back tonight. Brother.
Thanks, man.
WECW, we hardly missed these. Episode 42 is in the books.
Great stuff, man.
Yep.
With Halloween on the horizon, our next review will be...
Wow, it's going to be a happy November. Superstar is going to be a spectacular month. Two titles are going to be up for grabs. It's going to be a happening. It will indeed be a happening. Run. Indeed, it will be a happening. Caesars, Las Vegas, Nevada. Second annual. It's going to be a happening.
Could this really be happening?
Film, the happening.
Hooray!
And what a film.
So it's a goodbye from OZ, V1,
TGB,
and myself, Jay Hunter. And remember, a winner is you. Should that song play as a
word? Yeah. He's going to be more over after this show than he has been since 2006.
Yeah.
I worry that we'll be too calm about the happening. Imagine if
no. No, because Steve still doesn't understand.
Alright, yeah, it'll be great.
I can't wait to do that.
I know, I'm really looking forward to it.
That's going to be amazing.
Because I like the film as well.
Like I said, I was talking to Jay there about this a while ago. I was like, could like we like... film like tape like a little promo of like just me going, shut the fuck up, Steve, don't know what you're talking about, and like you go, you fucking dickhead, and just like, you know,
the preview,
yeah, and just like make an ad and go like, it's a happening, and then have one clip, it's a happening, next clip,
I love it,
and then ended it with like Boss Man going like shh, and then a flower waving.
Why a flower?
Oh, the flower.
Yeah. Or, you know, like a leaf.
Yeah.
Do you want to tape?
Yeah, that's what they're doing. Yeah.
Right, shout something at me. Call me a dickhead or an arsehole or a retard or something. Like,
Fuck's sake. Yeah. That's too nice. That's too nice. Just too nice. All right, hold on, Steve. Just listen to me for 1 second.
You don't know what you're talking about.
You clearly don't get it. You haven't watched the fucking film. Go and watch it again.
Fucking wavy trees.
You don't get it either.
Oh, amazing.
Good stuff.